News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 807 on Mobile Mornings. We're slowly, or then suddenly, I guess you would say, that our lead story this morning became the roads around us and all this standstill traffic with these accidents. I mean, just been one of those mornings that you're scratching your head like, why is this all happening? Because the weather's not bad.
Yeah, I think the first accident we had reported this morning that slowed things down, at least, was 65? No, it was I-10 East. Yeah. Just before you get to the 65 interchange. And then we had an accident, DIP and Laurendine, that stopped traffic both ways on DIP.
That's right.
And then now the big problem this morning, just outside of our studios here, 65 northbound at Airport, a bad accident that has things at a standstill, or at the very least moving really, really slowly. And it's been that kind of morning. We have that from time to time where it doesn't seem that weather would be to blame for why traffic has been so bad. Haywood texting in and says, something in the air today. It's like a modified real-life Grand Theft Auto out here, blowing through red lights, side mirrors, and bumpers dangling, your number one displayed. So someone throwing up the old middle finger arrow there. And made up rules of four-way stops employed. He says, I think I saw a dog driving a truck this morning. And don't forget the early morning toking with Cheech and Chong. It just seems, and I don't know what moon phase we're in right now. But
I just checked it out. So our next full moon, I used to be told by my father, who would check with our town's law enforcement on when there was a full moon, and he would get in our little town. Wasn't a whole lot of crime. It would be crazy that night.
Yeah.
So the next full moon is actually on April the 1st. That's next Wednesday.
No excuses there then.
No.
And
haven't seen the moon in a while because of the cloud cover in the morning.
That was nice yesterday. And we may sound like we deserve to be in the loony bin for bringing up the moon phases. But you talk to law enforcement. You talk to medical professionals. Mm-hmm. Like my sister-in-law, the nurse, they'll tell you there's something to that.
Yep.
People start acting a little crazy. So,
yep.
Also,
my dad was not full of crazy conspiracies at all. You would trust what he had to say. So, when he told me that, I was like, I'm going to believe it because it's coming from him.
Chris in Orange Beach saying, we don't even know what we're talking about here. He said, why don't y'all come over here and drive in the beach traffic? It's like that every day. And I put 100 miles a day in it. Well, it's like that every day from the end of February until the beginning of August, right, Chris? I mean, the rest of the year, you're mostly fine without all the summer traffic and spring breakers. I mean,
well, it's certainly the contrast between the two. You feel fine because nothing like, you know better than I do. Well, I used to have to go to the wharf a bunch, but you've got property down there, so it is a little crazy from this point on.
And Michael, who earlier said, my sinuses definitely could use a bit of rain to knock down the pollen, now saying, I bet the crazy amount of pollen covering everything and causing sinus issues has something to do with the wrecks. Yeah, maybe there's a lot of sneezing going on. I don't know.
Sneezing into an accident.
So we have plenty to get to this hour, and we'll talk with Rob Holbert from Lanyap coming up just after 8:30. Someone referenced it earlier, but an article from Scott Johnson about as this solar panel farm debate continues. And yesterday you had Matt Simpson with the presser that Dan has covered so well this morning. But you have the Friends of the Tensaw River, and you have the Stop Solar in Stockton, which became Stop Solar in Baldwin.
Uh-huh.
Then there appeared to be an opposite group in support of the farm that came out, but more so in support of private property rights.
That's right. So was that really an organic Baldwin County group? You may be wondering.
And according to Scott Johnson with Lanyap, it is not. So we'll talk with Rob about how that came about and what other media in the state Lanyap is saying may have played party to this group that is not as local as it sounds. Although there are plenty of local people who agree that private property rights should take precedence over the complaints of a lot of folks in the community. So we'll get into that with Rob, plus Mayor Chiarigotta saying how he wants, how he envisions Water Street in the near future.
Yeah, pretty interesting. It was the Downtown Mobile Alliance and the mayor's breakfast with the mayor.
And so we'll get into that too. But I want to talk Iran and some other international news too. And I think most importantly, you kind of left us off with a teaser at the end of both of these last hours. Dan Brennan saying that yesterday, for the first time ever, doing a certain household chore.
First time that I can remember that I had to do this. I probably have had to do it for a while. I just got around to it. And I was a little cautious about it because I'd never done it before that I ever remembered.
Mm-hmm.
And so I probably made too big a deal out of it here at the station before I left.
Well, you just wanted to make sure that I think you were actually fishing to see if one of us would come over and do it for you. But
you know me well, bro.
Dotting your I's and crossing your T's.
You know me well.
So one texter guessed that you mopped for the first time yesterday.
Not mopping, no.
You have done that before, though, right?
I've done it before under protest. mopping's a pain in the neck.
I've mopped.
I do the Swiffer thing, the Swiffer You know, that's kind of like minor league mopping or whatever.
I've mopped several times. I'm never sure I'm actually getting anything done when I'm mopping. Unless there's a stain that I can see going away.
I end up with a bunch of my own shoe marks all over the it's like...
and the dog always walks through it. Anyway, Jason from Loxley asks if you drained your water heater for the first time yesterday.
No, I would never attempt that.
I like doing that, weirdly.
I would never.
And I don't know if... I use a sock as a filter down there just to see what all kinds of crazy stuff is going to come out. So it's kind of like seeing a kidney stone, I would imagine.
I've never had one, that my kidney stone that would show up, but it's been a while since I've had one of those.
Summerdale Tony asks if you changed out the guts in the toilet tank for the first time.
No.
And that was not what he did yesterday.
No, more common than that. Like when I tell you what it was, you're going to be like, oh.
Billy says maybe you cleaned your garbage disposal.
I would never do that.
No. I've been having fits.
I'll give you my address, Billy, if you want to do that.
I've been having fits with my garbage disposal and having to fix it. And I don't think it's because it's a broken garbage. I think it's people putting things in the garbage disposal that shouldn't be going in there.
Yeah, you've got a little civil war going on with that. Now, I have dropped by management telling me every now and then just drop some ice cubes down the disposal.
Oh, yeah. I like to do that with a little lemon rind.
Okay.
Just to get some smell. Nice. Smell good in there, some orange rind.
Yeah.
We have a big debate over whether coffee grounds are okay in the disposal, and I'm of the mind that it's ruining our disposal. There are other people in our house who say it's no big deal. Rebecca asks if you clean the gutters for the first time.
No.
Okay.
No, because now I'm in an apartment.
Okay.
Now, I used to clean the gutters when I was a homeowner, and it was pretty comical, too, because I get up there, and, you know, we didn't always have months on end without any rain. I'd have leaves in the gutters, and they were wet leaves with water underneath them, and I'd hit it with the blower, and then it looked like I just came back from some sort of like when I went back in the house, it looked like I just came back from some sort of excavation in South America, like I'd been digging around for bones of cavemen. I'd be pretty much blacked out.
Yeah, my dad he went to Sturgis for the motorcycle rally years and years ago.
Yeah.
He did it several years, but he went to a burnout pit and stood right behind the burnout, not even thinking about what he would look like after being at the burnout pit and how covered in that soot and rubber he was. Backstrap Stacker asks if you changed out a toilet seat. Is that what you did?
No? I've done that before.
Yeah.
I've done that before. And then that's not what I did.
Don't tell anyone. I changed out one of our toilet seats with a... I don't want anyone to make fun of me for this. And I'm not going to say that I regret it, but a bidet.
Yeah,
with one of the bidets. And it's been a big hit in the family.
How about that?
To the point where everyone is using the same bathroom. Everyone in the house.
Looks like it's too big a hit.
Too big of a hit. Yeah, I need to maybe change some more of those out. A lot of guesses. Air filter change the light bulb. You've done that. Wash the window screens, clean the toilet. These are all easy things that Dan has definitely done. Change the AC filter. What did you actually do yesterday?
What I did yesterday was I cleaned the oven.
Oh, okay. Not like with a rag getting down
not,
there?
Not too, well, but, yeah.
Sponge or whatever?
Yeah, that was part of it.
Okay.
But the first part is spraying that ungodly stuff, you know, easy off.
Oh, okay.
And which, you know, could choke a giraffe. So I was like, man, that's kind of, I was like crying. I should have videoed it, but yeah, that caught me off guard, those fumes. And then you let it settle for a while, and then you go back and you manually scrub. And there was a good bit of grease at the bottom of the oven.
Yeah.
Somebody that had been to my apartment recently said, you're on the verge of burning down the neighborhood. So I'm like, okay, I know the neighborhood because I walk it so often, and I know the faces of the young, the smiling children. And I mean, can you imagine the guilt I would live with?
Well, and at that point, you knew there was a witness.
Yeah, exactly.
So if it did burn down, you wouldn't have...
Had to shut them up.
You wouldn't have plausible deniability because someone said, hey, man, you're going to burn them. Yeah, my wife throws the oven on self-cleaning mode all the time, and I act like it's a nuclear bomb sitting right there in the house because it gets so hot.
I know.
And I just wonder...
What's about to happen?
What is about to happen?
If
you walk by it and you're like, geez, that's smoking hot. So good. And now you're back to baking, huh? A clean oven.
Yep. Got clean oven. Got the, it was missing it. It was out for a while because it was missing some sort of component to the oven. So when it was replaced and now the oven is operational again, I was cautioned, you got to clean it.
All right. Well, I'm coming over for a dinner here in a little bit. 251-343-0106. Why don't we, you want to push this off or go straight into the break and then we'll come back some real news.
Yeah, we'll hit some real news, including what's going on in Iran. Of course, we're all curious about that.
Israel says they took out another major player this morning or overnight with strikes.
Mm-hmm. So we'll review some of that and just kind of catch up so we know that we're ready. And we've got the information we need to start our day. Many of you stuck in traffic. Sorry about that. 818 with Dan and Dalton. Good morning.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
822 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. If you need guidance after an injury, look no further than Tobias and Comer Law, your Mobile-based personal injury experts on Dauphin Street with decades of service to tons of people in our community. At Tobias and Comer Law, they deliver fair compensation without the runaround. Attorneys Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, and Lacey Smith stay by your side from start to finish, and they handle it all. Car and boating accidents, defective products, workplace injuries, maritime claims, and beyond. You can hit their website up, TobiasComerLaw.com, for plenty of great tips and resources. They have great community efforts they put on throughout the year, like Operation Backpack going into the school year. And don't miss the Law 251 podcast. We do monthly breaking down local legal topics. And don't forget, VoteNappies.com, best personal injury law firm, best personal injury attorneys, and best lifestyle radio show segment and podcast. Would appreciate your vote for all those. Check them out online, TobiasComerLaw.com.
Fog of war is definitely in place, it seems, with Iran trying to get to, you know, the information exactly where we are, different messages coming from the White House. CENTCOM Commander Admiral Brad Cooper was very straightforward with what he had to say yesterday.
We are on a path to completely eliminate Iran's wider military manufacturing apparatus, which is why my operational assessment continues to be Iran's combat capability is declining as U.S. combat capability continues to increase.
There you go. So also some news from overnight.
Yeah, and let's start with another announced injury. I think the numbers we had yesterday that came from CENTCOM, and I don't want to get this wrong, but I'll tell you, it's either 260 or 290 U.S. service members that have been injured so far in this war. Mm-hmm. There have been 13 killed in action, and an American sailor injured during flight operations aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier is, according to the Fifth Fleet, in stable condition. They say the ship was performing flight missions in the Arabian Sea at the time, and the sailor's injury was not combat-related or life-threatening. Well, it sounds combat-related. Okay, I'll leave that to the Navy.
Yeah.
The sailor was taken ashore for additional medical attention. Now, yesterday, Iran announced, like they were boasting, that they had fired missiles at the USS Abraham Lincoln, but it was believed that that they had not made contact, you know, that we were able to swat those out of the air or at least evade them. But they're saying this sailor's injury not coming from that, but from flight missions. The big news you were referencing there, Israel said overnight they killed the commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Navy, who they say was directly responsible for mining and blocking the Strait of Hormuz. That all happening in overnight strikes. That is, let's see the name here. Had it pulled up. Actually, they don't even have it in this article from the Wall Street Journal. Let's see. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz said, okay, here you go. Alireza Tangsiri, this naval commander's name for the IRGC, says that he was the man directly responsible for mining and blocking the Strait of Hormuz. So Israel says they took care of him overnight. Meanwhile, Pakistan said that the U.S. and Iran are engaged in indirect talks through messages that it was relaying, and that Tehran is considering Washington's proposals to end the conflict. That's similar to what the president said this morning in Truth Social posts. One of the things he said was that Iran is putting on the public face as if they're not interested in peace talks, but privately they're seriously considering it. He also said Iran's leadership, quote, better get serious soon about the talks. Wall Street Journal reporting that Trump is telling his close members in his administration that he wants the war brought to an end in the coming weeks. So he does not, according to this reporting, want the war to drag on.
I want to see what you think about this. The German president kind of scolding the U.S. and Israel over the Iran war, calling it a breach of international law. I don't know how that lands on you. It makes me, like, this guy is, he's not reading the world room right now, I think. I mean,
Mertz.
It's so, I mean, if you want to be quiet and feckless, that's one thing. But you want to shoot your mouth off and have, you know, they've got no defense themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Buying their oil from Russia and on. You go, so for him to make that comment, like, bro, you're out of line.
Yeah.
I think. Now,
it's kind of a different tact than we're seeing some of these other allied leaders taking now. I mean, we've seen Macron pop off, and we've seen Starmer, of course. He's been a pretty tough nut to crack here these first few weeks, but it seems like he finally came around. But Mertz seems like he has been more confrontational than the rest of the leaders.
Good luck with any kind of warfare that you may be involved in someday. Good luck with catching missiles from Iran.
Germany would never be involved in war.
They're not equipped, to be honest with you.
Right now they're not.
No.
They played a pretty central role in the
others. But since World War II, what have they been? What have they done? I just think coming from him and that country, that is, if it didn't make me so angry, I would call it laughable.
So you have Mark Rutte, the NATO Secretary General.
He's usually in line.
He's the Trump whisperer, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons they put him in charge over there. And Trump was going after NATO earlier, but Rutte says NATO is actually stronger today than it has ever been. They put out their annual NATO report, I guess, today. Rutte said, during the current conflict, NATO has intercepted 3 ballistic missiles that were headed toward Turkey and was working to make the Strait of Hormuz safe for shipping. They better get on it.
Yeah. So it was like a breakfast with NATO, like with Spiro yesterday?
Yeah, breakfast with NATO. Rutte was careful to praise the president for his efforts to get NATO members to increase their defense budgets, which he said wouldn't have happened without the current administration, and that the U.S. has had good reason to keep its strikes on Iran a secret, but the result was that Europeans needed some time to, quote, get organized.
Mm.
So that's Rutte talking about NATO's response to the war.
We have 20 nations or so that have now come around, maybe a little bit more, some of them European nations, about we will now give you some assistance, including UK may play a big role in the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, as far as minesweeping. And we'll see. I mean, you also have prognosticators saying that inflation is going to rise because of the energy prices rising on all of this. What we shall see. Your take on the text line, 251-343-0106. Coming up, we'll spend a lot of time on some local and state issues as Rob Holbert with Lanyap joins us to discuss the latest from their newest edition. Plus, votenappies.com, just a few days left for the nomination period for the 2026 Nappies. More Mobile Mornings on the way after the news.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Van and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:35. Mobile morning, still kind of a gray, overcast morning. I don't know what's gotten into those on the roads. We've had a lot of problems on the roads, a lot of major accidents on major thoroughfares, so just be careful.
Yeah, be careful. Rob Hulbert with Lanyap joins us, as he does every Thursday. And let's start it off, Rob, by talking about the nomination period for the Nappies, which is coming to an end later this week.
Yep, ends on Sunday, 29th. So this is it, the mad dash here at the end to get those nominations in. Mm-hmm. So keep putting them in, folks. We've got tons of them, but you know, get yours in there. This is the part where you get to go in and write the name of whoever it is that you want in that particular category.
Yeah, and then the big voting coming later. But I don't know. I have a hand injury. I've been voting so often here in the nomination period.
Not responsible for that.
Yeah, you're not liable for my injuries from voting in the Nappies.
No, we're not.
We have plenty of local and statewide issues to discuss, but why don't we start with the cover story? And Dan and I were talking earlier this week. There was a report that came out about the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission and how they overpaid a lawyer, attorney fees, and how they weren't keeping meeting minutes. And it was just kind of an overall reminder of how much they've screwed this up, the medical marijuana program, over the last 5 years. Not a single person has seen their prescription filled or anything to help with their nausea from cancer treatment, anything like that. But all along the way, we had these hemp products come around because of the Farm Bill 2018 or something like that. And all these businesses popped up, and they were selling these products and helping people in some ways. And, of course, a lot of it was not regulated because of the loophole. Now things are changing again, and some different businesses regaining their right to sell these products.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, of course, we had a lot of these hemp-based drinks and things like that. I would say that it's primarily recreational, mm-hmm. but you know, they were out there and then they weren't. And so people are trying to get them back on the shelves. And it's sort of, it's a little bit of a sporadic process. And, you know, we're following it. Grant McLaughlin's writing about it this week for us, just about, you know, I think over on the Eastern Shore, they've been a little more proactive about trying to get those things back in stores in Daphne and Fairhope a little bit. But, you know, in terms of Mobile, we're still sort of on the fence with a mm-hmm. lot of this.
Yeah, and the county commission, now they've already approved more than the city has, but only two, maybe three after this week, I think. And then the city first, well, they've been discussing it, but this week I think kind of took more of a step forward. The question I had is, you know, I thought that the new Alabama law, and of course they didn't provide much instruction for businesses or councils or commissions, which at this point I don't think we really expect, but it sure would have been nice. But how did so many of these smoke shops, as they're titled, stay in business through all of this? That's what I want to know. They're still up and running.
Well, I mean, the question is, how are they in business in the first place? A lot of them, they've always sort of, a lot of them have operated on sort of the fringe of what's legal and what's not for a long time. I mean, you know, we had kratom sales and other things like that were sort of unregulated. And, you know, and that's what I think a lot of this comes from. There was, after the things became legal and in stores, there was a sort of a Wild West circumstance where a lot of stuff was being sold. You don't really know what it is. It's not really very regulated. And then we went from that to nothing, and then trying to go back to this. But at the same time, like you mentioned before, the whole system has been very screwed up, and they're not able to even do the things that we're supposed to do with, you know, in terms of medical marijuana and things like that to help people who are sick. And you know, that's been out there for years, and it's just a battle over it's a battle over money is what it boils down to, and it's and also just the system that was put in place is not it's not very organized, and it hasn't worked.
Yeah, as Dalton, so that was our second of three big things yesterday. So Dalton had the story, and I swear, Rob, my jaw dropped when he just went on with this laundry list of incompetent acts and just inefficient and like it just sounded almost amateurish. So that's what got my
attention. Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission. Yeah,
the commission.
Oh yeah, I mean we started out with, I mean you can look at it and it's very obvious. You know, when they handed it out and said there are only going to be X number, and they handed them out, and you had a bunch of people who didn't get them, mm-hmm. who, you know, several of them were politically connected who did not get them, and they immediately filed suits, and mm-hmm. we had, you know, just, oh, well, let's redo it, and then redo it again, and redo it again, and it's just, I think the main thing is that there are people who've put money into it, and they're not being let into the system, and as in many things in this state, there's a lot of politics involved with it and a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff about who put their money in and who should be getting the money out of it.
Well, of course, your staff does such a great job on investigative reporting. And, again, something Dalton and I were talking about earlier this week as well was a big story there having to do with solar farms.
Yeah, so yesterday... we had this, I guess, press conference as they're on spring break, but a working spring break apparently for Matt Simpson, and I believe it was Greg Allbritton who was out there too, and talking about legislation to at least slow this solar farm project down in Baldwin County. But Scott Johnson had a story earlier this week as we saw kind of the community rally against this with the Friends of the Tensaw River and then Stop Solar in Stockton. It looked like there was an opposite group. It was a community-driven thing here.
Like organic, right. Yeah,
protect private property rights. Mm-hmm. Some digging from Scott shows that might not have necessarily been as organic as it looked.
No, I mean, it's the Citizens for Property Rights Baldwin County popped up, and it had, you know, slick logo, et cetera, et cetera, and it looked pretty well put together. And when you start looking, I mean, Scott went through all their metadata and everything and started finding connections to Yellowhammer News, which is owned by a guy named Paul Sashi, who is also owns a consulting firm, which their name was all over it. And, and of course, he does a lot of work for the big names in the state, the big political names, Katie Britt. Mm-hmm. I think he works with Tommy Tuberville, some others. It's essentially, it looks very much like it was put together by a PR firm. and with Yellowhammer News involved, and then you had the Lieutenant Governor, Will Ainsworth, wrote an op-ed that showed up on the same day in Yellowhammer and on 1819. It was parroting many of the same things that they were saying, including some of the very same language. He claims he wrote it. He claims he was moved to do it, but I don't know. It looks strange to me, and it just the timing seems weird, and it seems really strange that it was showed up in both of those. He claimed he sent it out to them. I'm like, well, you know, you didn't send it out to media that actually is covering this down here. It wasn't sent to any of us. I've worked in that world at one point in D.C. when I left Capitol Hill and in a public relations firm where these types of op-eds were put out all the time, and it smells a lot like that, but there's no way to really prove it. But it does seem strange that if you're sending one out, if you're moved to write an op-ed, you wouldn't send it all over the place.
You know, Rob, I got a presser this morning that Silicon Ranch is going to finally hold their own public community meeting, and this will be next week in Bay Minette. Something Dan and I, as we've been, you know, having these discussions, it doesn't seem like they've been out in front of this as much as someone who really wants this thing to be built, as controversial as it is, that they haven't been as in front of it as they could be. And I wonder if that's maybe because they're looking at this as low risk, high reward. Like, there are so many places in the United States that they could just plop a solar farm down that if Stockton won't have them, they'll just move it along. Do you get that kind of vibe, or how do you think this ends?
I don't know how they work, but I mean, I think they have a whole world of places they could put solar farms. Yeah, I think that's it. And it does look, when you've got legislation coming down the road that looks like it could ban that type of development, and it makes it tough for them. You know, how much money do they want to spend fighting with it? And I think, again, you know, it goes back to the point from the beginning is why do this in such secret fashion? It really, if they had handled it, or whoever wanted to get this done had handled it from the beginning, I think in a more open fashion, it might not be such a big deal. But it was done so quietly, and I think that left a lot of people with really bad taste in their mouth.
Yeah,
and I mean, there's a lot of folks who just have an aversion to solar, period.
Yeah.
But I think the big part of it is just that we're just doing this, and nobody's getting told that it was done. And honestly, if Scott Johnson, a reporter, had not been looking through, he just found this stuff, and I don't think it would have been a discussion at all if he had just stumbled upon it.
Dalton, so the company out of Nashville,
Silicon Ranch,
they're being vilified when the fact is, if you want to just take a look at, you know, some of the members of the home team, it was a deal with Alabama Power. So Alabama, and also it was approved by the Public Service Commission. So people in the state, all the blame seems to be heaped on top of this group from out of town. But the fact is that the entities in the state of Alabama were without them, it never happens at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at, you know, those guys are just doing what they do. They make solar panel farms.
Right.
I mean, that's what they do.
Right.
And whether you
and raise sheep.
Like them or like them or think they're somewhere in between, that's what they do. You know, I don't think they're hiding that or being strange about what they do in that regard. The people who put it in place, you know, the county commissioners were not aware of it. The Public Service Commission voted on it very quickly, got it through.
They did.
All those things were done in a very quick fashion without letting folks know. And, you know, this is, it's those things that that happen, and you wonder why would the people who are elected or the people who are in place to let us know or to protect our rights not want to let us know it's happening.
Yeah.
I think that's where if you want to blame anybody, if you want to get mad about it, something, I think that's where it should be directed more than the people who that's what they do for a living.
I completely agree. Yeah.
Well, I like blaming everyone and being mad about everything. So,
that's a good thing. It's always
perfect. He's gotten, you know, we've been together there 5 years. He's gotten better and better at all of that.
So, yeah, next week, that community meeting with Silicon Ranch's people, that ought to be interesting in Bay Minette.
That's the one I called.
That's the one Dan called for. Meanwhile, Rob, breakfast with the mayor yesterday morning and a lot of talk about Water Street. Now, what's his plan to put solar panels right down the middle of the street?
Yeah, right. Solar panels everywhere.
You're going to, hey, Rob, you're going to have a little sign with a sheep crossing there on Water Street.
So it'll be nice.
Big plans, though.
He had some plans about sort of, I guess he called it a linear park along Water Street that would. And it looked like it would take up some part of the road. I gather that's what it would do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, his plan is to have a big green space all along Water Street. It was an interesting meeting to listen to the mayor. This first time I've heard him speak, since he became mayor. And it was impressive. I thought he had a lot of good things to say. And got a good sense of humor too. This mayor's kind of funny. He's got some funny, funny one-liners. But it was a very educational time listening to him. And I think he's excited. And you know, I think that's one of the things you do get when you get somebody new in office. Not to say anything negative about Sandy in terms of what he was doing, but he'd been there for 12 years. And I think that sometimes when you have fresh eyes on something, there's a level of excitement that I know that Mayor Stimson had when he was there that gets, you know, at some point you start to say, gosh, you know, these potholes, there are always going to be potholes. And, you know, there's big picture stuff. It gets more interesting. But I think, Spiro is certainly in that phase of wanting to tackle everything. Yeah. And so there's a lot of energy there, and it's interesting.
Yeah, and I really do enjoy at least thinking of what that waterfront could be. And I don't know if it'll turn into everything that's projected, but it's at least a fun idea to project that. And I think that, you know, if they do the boardwalk and if that
hotel
ends up there, it could be a really nice little spot.
Well, it is something we have to do if you want to really maximize the waterfront, and you know, we are a waterfront city with very little access to the waterfront.
Yep.
And people just got used to that. But, you know, when you people go to different, I know my business partner Ashley went up to Chattanooga last weekend and was just like, just gushing about how, you know, there's the green space and they can get down to the river and it's there's a nice place to walk along it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that's, we're missing that. And we've just taken it for granted for so long that that isn't something we should be doing, or that you shouldn't really be next to the bay. This is, I mean, the industrial can live, and we, you know, we need to have the port going, and that's, it's a great thing, but we need to have some ability for people to also enjoy it. The citizens need to be able to get near it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's really aiming for.
Yeah. I you know, 100% agree. We had this discussion 30 years ago when I moved to town. It was kind of like,
been having this discussion for a long time.
Yeah. How do you get to, when do I get to see the water in this waterfront town?
Great stuff, as always, Rob, in the latest edition of Lagniappe. People need to vote, nominate, votenappies.com through Sunday, and then you'll tally those up, and we'll do the final voting here before too long. But if folks want to sign up for Lagniappe, I always have said that's the best way to get the news.
It is. It's and we're doing breaking news all day long. It's just $1 for the first month, and it's 30 cents a day after that. It's very affordable, and we are putting news out all day long. So you're missing it if you're not. If you're just picking the paper up once a week, we love that you're doing that, but don't miss out on everything else, too.
Thanks a bunch, Rob. We'll talk again in 1 week.
All right, y'all. Take care.
Bye. Rob Holbert, Lagniappe, and lagniappemobile.com. And we'll come back to wrap things up, let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Porsche Show.
Importantly, Kane with the latest look at traffic, because it has been a mess out there, and that's on the way. So to just hang on. The information is right around the corner in about 2 or 3 minutes.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
854 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Let you know he's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show here in just a moment. And, yeah, I know we just had Kane's traffic. He didn't mention 65 at Airport Atlanta, saying things are looking like they're moving pretty well through there now after a very stop-and-go morning. The tournament, of course, rolls on. More games tonight and tomorrow night, and then over the weekend, and then we'll be down to just a few games left in this college basketball season. And it is so much fun to not only watch the games, but also play along on Underdog. That's the best place to get in on all of the tournament action. You can make entries and win money right now in Alabama. It's really easy to set up your entry on Underdog. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, and more. I just put together my first entry for tonight's games. It's just a two-player entry here I'm going with. Braden Smith with Purdue. I have higher than 15.5 points as they take on Texas, who I think has made it farther along than most folks thought they would. And then my favorite player that's not on the Tennessee Vols this year has been Darius Acuff with Arkansas, that freshman point guard, SEC player of the year. I have him going higher than 24.5 points against number one seed Arizona tonight. So if those two score more points than they're projected for, then it looks like my entry will be a winner. And yours could be too. If you get your entries right, you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. So great time today to download the Underdog app and use promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. Score $50 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton, Underdog. Make plays, win money. Must be 19 plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-MY-RESET or visit ncpgambling.org.
U.S. Senate candidate for Tommy Tuberville's current seat in the U.S. Senate, Jared Hudson, will be a guest on the Jeff Poor Show coming up for a little after 10:30, April Marie Fogle, you know her well, and Parker Griffith, former U.S. representative, kind of the Democratic response to all that Jeff's got to say. That's all in the lineup today.
Plus, he gives us that great ag report at the very beginning of every call.
Yeah.
And so,
what's up with peanuts in Madison? Now you'll know.
Probably not good, as you've compared to the rest of the state. Not looking good. Joel in Summerdale, actually a lot of comments about that Alabama Leadership Fund spot that's been rolling here these last few days. Joel says, I can't believe they actually spent money on this stupid commercial trying to downgrade Coach Tuberville. It's amazing to me, and they actually think this is going to hurt him. This is one of the most stupidest commercials. Chris saying, I know y'all are in business to make money, but that ad against Coach Tuberville really sucks, he says. Well, I mean, there are, you know, there are FEC rules, and not that we would, you know, turn it down anyway for someone trying to advertise for a race, but it is interesting when those country accents start popping back up every couple of years.
Are you kidding
me? This is what I'm really thinking.
Is that really what the old Tuberville's up to?
Oh, man. I think often those turn off more people than they turn on to whatever they're trying to put them on, kind of like that Club for Growth spot we've been talking about.
I mean, that thing, woof, my goodness. That basically a Barry Moore ad, though Jerry Carl pointed out to Jeff yesterday that, you know, hey, easy, Barry's a good dude.
Barry would never do that.
He would never do that, but his team behind him trying to win the Club for Growth action pack certainly did, and it is one of the most amazing commercials. Like you said, if you have kids watching TV or if it's on the radio, what you'd want to mute that or turn it off.
Yeah.
So see some of the images and
you know,
some
that
of the words.
That happens from time to time, and it's usually not a political ad.
Right.
You have to, although, you know, with the Trump and Biden, I mean, Trump and Kamala, some of those rape, murder, illegals. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on, man.
Yep.
But it gets people out there voting. 8:58, Jeff Porcho on the way next.